Diane, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Yes, thank you.
Diane, yours is a heartbreaking story of loss, but also a story of hope, so other young men or sick children in future have a decent chance of survival. How your story unfolded and what message you want to convey to the Armenian community?
Yes, so initially in 2014, my son had leukemia and he was in remission, but then he relapsed. And so we were told that the only hope of survival was to have a bone marrow transplant. And so he was treated at the Children's Hospital in Westmead in Sydney. And so they asked us some information about our family background. So my family background is South African with a Western European heritage, and my husband is Armenian. And so I told them that information, and they said, okay, they're going to go or consult with the Australian Bone Marrow Donor Registry and the Red Cross, and they'll start looking for a bone marrow donor for my son. So my son was an only child as well. So there wasn't the option to look at, you know, one of his brothers and sisters for a possible match. And parents aren't really good matches either. So that's why the transplant coordinators at the Westmead Children's Hospital decided to look at the donor registries for bone marrow donors. So they started looking within Sydney and then within Australia and couldn't find any matching donors. They then started looking internationally. And at the time, there were about 10 million bone marrow donors worldwide, but they couldn't find a match. And then they started looking for a cord blood match. So that's a cord blood from a newborn baby that has been stored in liquid nitrogen and kept as, you know, in some countries, the programs are quite big. And then eventually, after about 2 months, they found the closest possible match that they could from a cord blood in France. But there were some important differences in the tissue type. So it wasn't a particularly good match, but it was the best that they could find. And so they said to us, this will give your son the best chance of survival. There will be some complications, but we have no other option but really to go ahead with this, to try to save his life. So after consulting with us and with my son, we all agreed that that was the way that we'd have to go. So they got the cord blood, and that came in from France, and then they, at the hospital, they proceeded to do the stem cell transplant. And then I started to read up information about donors, because I also tried to think about myself finding a donor within the Sydney Armenian community. And that's when I looked at the donor registry, and I could see that there weren't enough ethnically diverse donors in the Australian registry. So then I realized the chance of finding a matching donor for someone like Sean was, you know, there wasn't going to be much chance of success. And so I had that at the back of my mind, and then my son was being treated, so we were very occupied with him and his illness. But then we did find that because the match wasn't particularly good, what happened is that the donor cells started to attack his body, and that process is called graft versus host disease. So the graft is, you know, the donor, and then the host is the individual that the transplant has been put into. So the donor cells have gone into the recipient. And so over a period of time, he got sicker and sicker. And his body was attacked sort of very mercilessly and until he actually died from this graft versus host disease. And with having, you know, in my mind about there being insufficient Armenian donors within Australia, I felt that it was something good could come. So I felt, you know, that I I really wouldn't like to see another person not be able to find a suitable donor in Australia. So I felt that that is a project that I wanted to pursue in my son's memory.
So all the time you were looking for an Armenian donor from both sides, or an Armenian mixed with, a mixed marriage, Armenian, South African?
I wasn't really, I knew it would be very difficult to find an Armenian and South African. And that also, because tissue types are very different, I knew that that would be very difficult. But initially, when I didn't know as much about the process as I now do, I just felt that there may be a more compatible donor here in Sydney than the one that had been found internationally. And the other thing is that because tissue types are quite complex, so the things that make ourselves unique and distinguish, you know, our own cells from foreign cells, you know, it's quite a complex situation. So you may have to test numbers of people before you find a good match. But certainly if you look within your own ethnic group, that's where your greatest chances of finding a matching donor. So, you know, that's why I felt that it was important to increase the number of Armenian donors within the donor registry, because if you had, you know, another person with an Armenian heritage who needed a transplant, possibly they would be able, if there were enough donors here, they would be able to find a local donor. The other advantage is, you know, it's much easier to have a donor locally, because two ways in which they can donate bone marrow. But they, once they call, they can easily go to the hospital and donate the bone marrow, whereas in other cases, the marrow itself has to be transported either from another state or internationally. And that, of course, costs a lot of money as well. And the Australian government pays for the transport and all the testing for bone marrow transplant patients. You know, so that is an expensive operation, which is, you know, the Australian taxpayer is having to fund. But if people can be more aware locally of the importance of donating to the marrow registry, it also means that, you know, they are helping their own community. So at the end of the day, you know, it's about increasing their presence in the Australian marrow registry.
So you're planning to raise awareness within the Australian Armenian community about bone marrow donor registry?
Yes. So then what I plan to do is, we did, in 2014, I knew of a wife of an Armenian doctor, and she actually did contact SBS Radio, and they did put out a local call, but I didn't hear any more about that. So I felt that, you know, I certainly would be contacting key Armenian groups, so that would be SBS, it would be Armenian churches, and it would be Armenian community groups. So, you know, that's what my plan is for next year, to start liaising with these groups and to make them aware of the need to donate bone marrow. So the people that the registry is looking for are people that are in good health, that are between 18 years old and 45 years old. So they have to be fairly young, because the younger you are, the better your stem cells are in your bone marrow. I mean, when you're getting older, you start having your own health issues. But young, they're looking for fit, healthy young people who are willing to donate. So that's why I would, you know, felt it was important to contact the whole Armenian community in Sydney and really to make them aware of this tremendous need and how much, you know, it's about sort of helping people out. So it's not only donating bone marrow, but also leukemic patients need a lot of blood, and they need a lot of red cells and platelets. So it would also be good to be blood donors. So say people who are older than 45 who wanted to become donors, they wouldn't be able to be bone marrow donors, but they could be blood donors. So it means, you know, they would be helping the local community. So that's why I want it to be, you know, a widespread message, so that at the end of the day, you know, people wouldn't find themselves in dire straits as we did. And hopefully, you know, a member of their family, if they needed a bone marrow transplant, would find a good match and would be able to survive this horrible disease of leukemia. That's really, yeah, the essence of the story. And I work in a health background, so, you know, I've got a good knowledge of how the bone marrow registry works. So I feel, you know, I'm in the best possible position to do something like this. I want also, you know, I want something good to come out of my son's loss at the end of the day. The other thing I wanted to say is even I, who work in the health field, wasn't that aware of the donor registry. So I feel it's important that these organizations that are, you know, not-for-profit organizations who work very hard and do very important work for the whole of the Australian community be recognized for the work that they do. So, you know, that's the donor registry, it's Australian Red Cross, and also I work in the field of pathology, and we ourselves are running a campaign to make the general public aware of the role of pathology. So 70% of medical diagnoses are made through the use of pathology. And there is now an organization called Know Pathology, so it's KNOW, that is trying to promote the field of pathology, because we're very much, you know, behind the scenes in medicine. So people, you know, really at the rock face are the doctors and the nurses and other health professionals. And pathology people are sort of behind the scenes. But, you know, the pathology staff are very dedicated. We do a lot of work behind the scenes. And in fact, my son as well was diagnosed in the laboratory where I work. So, you know, I know, I've seen as a pathology professional and as a mother, I've looked and seen how dedicated the pathology staff are. And, you know, my son's diagnosis was made in a matter of hours. So, because I worked in the field and my colleagues were so dedicated, you know, and they made every effort to get the results to the doctor so that the doctor could, you know, examine Sean and then start giving him whatever treatment he needed. So, you know, those are the three organizations that are very important for me, and I would like to highlight the work that they do.
Diane, thank you for talking to us. It's a commendable effort from your part. Wish you success, and it will be a pleasure to spread your message.
Right, thank you. Bye.